Let's extend our hand to pray for our pastor. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to be in your house and to be ready, heart, soul, and mind, to hear your word. Bless Pastor Jeff as he brings your word. You speak to us through your word, and we want to hear you. We long for your presence, Lord. And we open our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive what you have for us. Father, I also pray that there's anything on the way that could hinder that your word come into our hearts and transform us and liberate us to serve you and follow you faithfully. I bind this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we clear the way with the power and authority of Jesus. And we receive you. Amen. Amen.
Hold on, I just need to sit down for a minute. Oh, so good. Oh, so good. So, Pastor Jaime said in the announcement time that we've been discussing what is known as the fourfold gospel, which are four main pillars that we believe here at Living Christ Church, which is part of the Christian Mission Alliance, that Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Sanctifier, Jesus is Healer, and He's Coming King. And Pastor Jaime preached to us about Jesus as Savior, what it means to come to Him, that when Jesus died, He conquered sin, death, and Satan and made it a way for our relationship with the God of the universe to be completely restored. And what we need to do is not hire Him as God, as a consultant, but rather give Him control of our lives. And then He gave us this, this close. In light of this new reality of you having Christ in you, how are you now going to live? And the great part about that is, He is involved in that process with us, and it's this big word, sanctification, that He's involved in the process of making you whole. He's involved in the process of you taking control of your life and laying it down at His feet. And so last week, we talked about the tension that takes place in our soul when we come to God and we give Him control, but this the residual effects of our sin, and I gave you the analogy of a splinter. When the splinter was removed, there's still pain there, and eventually that dissipates. And so the God in our lives removing that so that we can give Him complete and under control. But there's times in our lives where we want to pick that control back up and run with it. And He wants us to lay it back down at His feet. And then there's another time in our lives where we pick it back up, but we want to control it again. But we need to lay it back down. So there's this tension taking place in our soul. I want to take the story just one step further this week. So take the tension aside. What a life looks like when we lay it down and we do not pick it back up. And we have clear insight of what Christ is doing in our lives. A life fully given over to God, where we're more often than not allowing Him to control us, instead of us picking it up and laying it back down. And we pick the story back up in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you didn't bring a Bible, we've provided one for you. It's page 1096. Or if you have an app on your phone, pull that up. If you don't, it takes a quick second to pull that up. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be starting in verse 15. We finished off in verse 14 last week. We're going to go through the rest of the passage this morning. And look at this, the greatness of God in and through you in light of this new reality of having Christ in your life. In verse 15, it says, "The Spirit you received at salvation does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are His children, then we are heirs. If we are heirs of God, then we are co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may have also shared in His glory." And I just want to pause there for a second, because there's a lot going on in that first little section. So we're not controlled, we're not in a fear-based relationship. We're not in a fear-based relationship. I mean, in this kind of environment, with this amount of people, at some point in a lot of your lives, you've been in some kind of fear-based relationship. This is not a fear-based relationship. This is a relationship with a loving Father who wants everything good in your soul. And we get this image that the Spirit that He gives us is together with our spirit, and together the two of them cry, Abba, Father. He says it in two different ways, in Greek and Hebrew. And there's this, inside the soul coming out and screaming, Abba, Father, because it's completely different than anything we've ever experienced in our lives. I likened it to this. When I was a young father, and I'd go away and I'd come home, oftentimes the front door would be open, the screen door was there, and as soon as I got to the steps, when Jordan was just a little tyke, he would come running up to the door. Ta-da! When Christ comes into our life, it's like we're a little kid, and we see the loving arms of our Father, and there's nothing we want more to experience Him picking us and enveloping us with His love and His compassion. And I got to experience that day after day after day for a while. Maybe it's like this. When the Holy Spirit comes in, it's like being on a raft and that raft gets punctured and the water just comes rushing in and the raft and the water become one. Or maybe it looks like this, a little kid. Have you ever watched a little kid trying to pour a glass of Kool-Aid into a cup? It's in the cup, it's on the cup, it's on the floor. When the Holy Spirit comes rushing in, it's like invading you, like Kool-Aid over a cup, filling every single crevice and crack and everything around you. So much so that when the song How He Loves was written, he described it this way: when heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. And every single thing inside of us cries out, Abba, Father. When we lay it down and experience the fullness of what the Holy Spirit does in and through us, it transforms you from the inside out. And you can't help but scream from your soul in partnership with the Holy Spirit, Daddy! Let's keep going. In verse 18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that was revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom from the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Whether you're a Christian or not, in this life you will experience some form of suffering. You just will. You're going to experience it. When Christ comes in, He transforms the inside and makes you whole and new. But that does not mean that all of a sudden your life is completely perfect and you're impervious to pain and suffering. In fact, you may experience it all the more, because you have been made new, and the contrast of what has taken place in your soul is so contradictory to what's going on around you that those two are in opposition. He says that suffering can't even compare to the glory that awaits you. And the whole world is groaning in eager anticipation for this all to be over and for everything to be fully restored with God. If you've ever spent any amount of time outside in quietness, I love going up to Hook Mountain in the middle of the day and just sitting there. And when there's not a whole lot of people, some of you are nodding your heads, you've been there. And you just sit up there and there's no human noise. And you begin to hear the birds chirp. And you can hear the trees sway and they crack. There's a creaking going on. If you've ever been out in the middle of a thunderstorm or heard a thunderstorm and that interaction, that static electricity that takes place that causes a lightning bolt to land and then the reciprocating noise of thunder, or seen or experienced an earthquake, we know that this world is groaning, literally groaning, in eager anticipation from the Father. We can hear it in not only in the creation, but in the animals as well. When you hear that screech of the red-tailed hawks that fly around here, or you hear the faint howl of the coyote, there is an eager anticipation and a waiting and a longing for this all to stop. Just make it stop and restore this thing already. But we have a hope, not in everything that's around us, but in the one who created it all and wants to fully restore it. Let's keep going. So this is what it says in verse 24. For this hope we were saved, that all this would be restored. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When we do not know what we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercedes with us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, but the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who loved him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brothers and sisters, and that those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Our hope is not in everything that we see around us. Our hope is in Creator God who has restored us internally. And so last we talked about this internal tension that was going on in our soul. And now we see that there's an external tension that's taking place with us. We've been restored here, but we still live in a world that's chaotic. And how awesome is it that when we do not have the answers, we don't even know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us. You've been transformed, changed into chocolate milk. I love that imagery. And then there's this Spirit interceding for you with the God of the universe that is not affected by the things around us. How many of you wish you had some kind of interpreter for what you said? You ever had an interaction? Have you ever had an interaction with somebody and you're having a conversation and you can feel the words coming up out of your and about to come out of your mouth and everything inside of you is saying, "No, do not let those words out." And you're like, internally, you're like trying to grab at them. No. Some of you are married in this land. You've had a conversation with your wife or your husband, and you know if I say this, I'm going to be in the doghouse, or we're not going to talk for the next 16 to 24 hours. And for whatever reason, out it comes. Don't you just wish there was an intermediary who would come in right in the middle of that and go, time out, and push it back in? Or, you know, somebody that would come up next to your spouse and just, "What did you say?" Maybe you've had that interaction with your friend, your best friend. You're spending so much time together, maybe too much time together. You're a little sleepy. Maybe you're studying for something. Maybe you're working on a project. And then all of a sudden, they do something and everything. You're like, Don't you just wish somebody could just jump right in the middle of that and go, time out? Or those times, those experiences, where you're sitting with a friend or a family member and there's turmoil going on in their soul. Maybe they lost somebody to death. Maybe somebody in their situation, their family has cancer. And you just wish that the right words would come out of your mouth, that you would see the right things that would land for them. and bring peace to their soul. All of that, all of those kind of things are taking place for you in your relationship with God now through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you're never going to say the wrong thing to God. Because the Spirit inside of you is partnering with Him to say what's needed. And when you don't know what to pray, how to intercede for your friend or what to do, the Spirit Himself comes with your spirit and brings that offering to God. How amazing is that? No matter how much chaoticness is going on in and around us, the Spirit of the living God is interceding on your behalf with groans that could not be understood by human ears. Even when we try to pick back up control, the Spirit jumps in on our behalf and communicates that to the Father so that that relationship can never be destroyed. Let's keep going, because then we get into everything that's going on around us. Just in case we haven't quite got it yet, Paul continues. What then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those God has chosen? If it is God who justifies, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine, nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered like sheep to the slaughter. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can say amen to that. Yes. When all this stuff is going on around us, and when there's internal turmoil going on in your soul, the Spirit of the living God is our intermediary. And He comes in and He just crushes all of that that is in opposition to the Father. And there is perfect peace. Now, in my flesh, I wish that we did not experience any kind of suffering. I wish that were true. But if we did not have a choice to respond to the Father with love as He lavishes His love on us, then it would cease to be a love relationship and He would cease to be the author and the perfecter of love. And He does this thing deep down in our soul where it doesn't matter anything that's going on around us or even internally. None of that can separate us from His love. And I'm so thankful it's not the other way around, because mine's conditional. There are times when I'm in hurt and turmoil and pain, and I don't want to respond back to love to the Father. And He goes, Jeff, I love you. And there are times when I choose not to allow the Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit through me, and I respond in something negative to the people around me, and the Father says, I love you. We're going to conclude this morning with communion. And this is a physical reminder of what Christ has done for you and for me. We've talked about this for the last 4 weeks now. That when Christ comes in, you are a life restored. When Christ comes in, a transformation takes place and restores your relationship with the Father. We've talked about the fact that we need to give him full and ultimate control. We've talked about the tension of us wanting to pick that control up and lay it back down and pick it up and lay it back down. Many came forward last week for prayer assistance to help us lay it back down. This morning, as we conclude the service with communion, I want this to be a physical reminder, not only what Christ did in your life by transforming you and making you whole and new, but he does it now and now and now and now and now for the rest of your earthly life. So it doesn't matter how many times you try to steal back that control from him. He is still fighting inwardly and externally on your behalf. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for everyone here this morning. I thank you that you desire each and every single one of us to experience this truth that is your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fight on our behalf, that you intercede for us. Right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would cover our ears so we only hear what you desire us to hear. I come against the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say you have no authority over anyone sitting in here this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak these truths to us this morning, that we would know and understand that we are loved by the Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.